the occupied various positions in Microsoft Research Cambridge, in the University of Cambridge, and also at Technical University in Munich. And he holds a doctoral degree in computing from the University of Oxford. He's the author of some influential publications, including Springer's book on secure systems development with ULM. Okay, yeah, so you know, half an hour at most, am I right for this? Okay, so we have about 20 minutes and 10 minutes for discussion. Okay.
Yes?
When you want 20 minutes, you kindly interrupt.
Yeah, I will set up.
He will kindly switch off the projector or something. Okay, I will try not to let that happen. Okay, anyway, thanks a lot for the introduction and yeah, for the opportunity to present this work now. As the title indicates, I would like to shortly present some work that we have been doing on supporting the security certification of cloud computing infrastructures. So firstly, one slide of motivation on clouds in general, which I'm sure I don't have to motivate a lot because, well, of course, for the last couple of years, this technology has been, well, a lot of talked about. But just, yeah, my point of view on this topic, and this is also the point of view where I'm starting from and where we are interested in is that among other things, clouds present an interesting opportunity to market and distribute software, and in particular also for small and medium enterprises, because it makes the distribution of the software much easier. And of course, there are already several examples for that. You can sell and buy software over a couple of existing marketplaces, cloud-based software marketplaces now, for example, by Amazon, Microsoft, and others. But of course, the question is, as usual, from the point of view of the customer, is the software actually secure that I'm buying there? And of course, this is not a new question in the cloud context necessarily. However, it becomes even more important because if you have small companies selling software, then you may, of course, clouds makes it easier for them to sell their software, but you may not necessarily trust them as much as the big names. So even if the cloud is provided by a big name company, if the services are not, then you're not sure if you can trust them. So the question is, can you actually develop a cloud infrastructure which in some way certifies that the services that are offered across that infrastructures are also secure? Not only the cloud infrastructure, there you may trust that big name company to make secure infrastructures, but also the services that are provided by the small software providers. How do you make sure that they are actually trustworthy? And yeah, so security and trust is in fact a big issue in the context of cloud computing infrastructures. This is just one example of a couple of studies that have been performed over the last couple of years, asking potential cloud customers or asking companies why so far they are hesitant and they are not using clouds yet, despite the advantages in terms of cost efficiency and flexibility of using these kind of IT infrastructures. And well, these are the answers that were given why people or companies are not using clouds yet, those that are not doing it. And the first concern, of course, is security. So 3/4 of the people who were asked and were not yet using cloud computing are doing that because of security concerns. Another issue, slightly further down, regulatory requirements or compliance, as you might say. Also, 1 out of 2 people who were asked said that these are important reasons that keep them from using cloud so far. So and these are, from our point of view, sort of 2 motivations for performing work from the point of view of software engineering to develop tools and approaches that make sure that the clouds and the services that are offered across the cloud are actually secure and compliant. So, yeah, so much for the motivation. Now, okay, how can we actually do this? We want to develop approaches for security certification of clouds and of the software services that are offered over a cloud. And of course, this is highly non-trivial because this is a complex system. A cloud is a complex system, obviously, and these infrastructures are, of course, typically long-living. And this is a particular challenge from the point of view of security, because you have to make sure that the cloud not only is secure at the beginning of its lifetime when it's initially used, but it has to stay secure during its whole lifetime, obviously, because you don't want it to become insecure at some point. And this basically is a particular higher challenge, so you have to make sure it remains secure despite a lot of changes that will happen. So for example, requirements change, or the configuration changes, or the attacker models make change. Suddenly there is more knowledge available for the attackers, and they may become more powerful, and the cloud has to remain secure throughout the whole process. And of course, it is way too much effort to recertify the cloud after each change in the cloud, in its environment, in the attacker models, and so on. So we have to find intelligent ways in order to recertify cloud computing infrastructures after one of these issues changed. So we want to be able to reuse security certification results as far as possible after a particular change in the cloud computing infrastructure. And in order to be able to do that, of course, you have to somehow be able to say that the given change does not destroy the security properties of the cloud which you have already established. Because if that is the case, then, well, of course, you have a problem. You cannot simply recertify the cloud, but you have to firstly repair it. But in those situations where you can actually make sure that those changes that were applied do not destroy the security properties that were already established, then you can make a significant gain by approaching the problem from that point of view, as opposed to trying to recertify the whole infrastructure from scratch, because of course that would be way too much effort. And that's basically motivation behind our work. And we, as the background for our work for this security certification, we use an approach which is centered around modeling the cloud computing infrastructure. So we, in previous work, we have developed an extension of the unified modeling language, which allows you to include security properties and security relevant information as part of a UML model of a complex infrastructure. This allows you to firstly integrate the security requirements as part of your model of the system infrastructure. And we've also developed tools which allow you to analyze the model against those security properties automatically. And then in a second step, you can then generate test sequences from the models to make sure that also the implementation, of course, satisfies the security properties and not only the model of the software. In addition, we've developed tools for static analysis, which you can use to directly check the code against the security properties. And for security critical systems like clouds, there's further important artifacts, namely configuration data, such as user permissions or firewall configurations. And therefore, we have also developed tools which allow you to either generate that data from the models so that the security properties are satisfied by construction, or in the situation where this data is already present in practice, you can alternatively verify the data against the security properties that are documented in the models. Then, of course, in the end, you want to make sure that the cloud satisfies the security properties at runtime. And therefore, we have another part of the approach which allow you to generate security monitors from the models to check at runtime that the cloud actually satisfies the security properties. Now, as I mentioned already, that, of course, change continually happens. And what this means to this picture is now that any part of this picture may change at any time, and whenever that happens, we have to make sure that, we have to check whether this change preserves or destroys the security properties which we have already been able to establish using one of the techniques that are mentioned in this picture. And yeah, so this is the UML extension which I already mentioned. We've developed that a couple of years ago, and we've also developed tools which allow you to then automatically check a UML model for the security properties that are included in the UML model as annotations. And yeah, so much for the overview of this work. I will now, with the remaining time that I have, go into a little bit more technical detail about some of the results that we had to develop in order to develop this approach. Firstly, at the model level, for model level security analysis, and then secondly at the implementation level. So firstly, the goal here was to be able to recheck a cloud computing infrastructure after a possible change with respect to the security properties. And to be able to do that effectively and efficiently, we considered certain techniques which are very useful in the context of changing complex infrastructures. And there are a couple of techniques around in the software engineering domain which can help you in that situation. For example, the design technique of refinement of specifications. So how does this help us with evolution? Well, you can view the different versions of the system as refinement of one common abstract specification. And if you can then make sure that the refinement relation preserves the security properties, then it is enough to once and for all check the abstract specification for the security properties, and you don't have to recheck all of the refinements of that specification again. So that of course saves a lot of work in the context of evolution. Then of course there's the architectural principle of modularization, which is the core principle which you can try to use in order to limit the impact of change in the context of evolution to certain parts of a system. Of course, this is a very old principle in that context, and there are different dimensions that are relevant here in this context of a cloud computing infrastructures. Firstly, you have modularization along the architectural layers, and then secondly, you may use techniques such as component-oriented or service-oriented architectures, which also provide you with some level of modularization. The problem with security is now with all of these techniques that I'm mentioning here is that they don't necessarily preserve security properties. And that's of course bad news. It's also very unfortunate. If we have time, I can give some examples for what can go wrong here. So that's firstly the bad news. In order to be able to still deal with that, what we did was to try to establish preconditions under which, nevertheless, these techniques do preserve certain security properties. So we considered certain important security properties, and we try to identify conditions under which, nevertheless, these properties are preserved when you apply these kind of techniques, which unfortunately doesn't always work, but in many cases we were able to establish that. Firstly, refinement. For time reasons, I cannot really say much about the technical detail of what we had to do there, but I just mentioned it briefly. So in order to solve this problem that unfortunately refinement in general does not preserve security properties, we had a closer look at the problem there, and we found out that the reason behind that problem is that in many approaches for specifying security critical systems, they don't distinguish between different kinds of non-determinism which are relevant in the context of security. And the first non-determinism is that of under-specification, which just means that when you proceed with specifying a system, you firstly create an abstract specification which is underspecified in the sense that it does not pin down every detail yet, because you want to leave that open until later, which is of course a very useful technique. But unfortunately, well, it is one kind of non-utilism which you want to be able to reduce, whereas on the other hand, there's some other kind of non-utilism which you actually want to preserve at runtime, namely that non-utilism which you need at runtime in order to establish a certain security property, for example, by generating cryptographic keys or random values. And this is a very central technique for providing security at runtime. And if you, at the specification level, mix these two kinds of non-utilism and you reduce them by refining and by reducing the under specification, then of course it's clear that you will become a problem with, you will have a problem with the security. And the way we solved this was to make sure that we distinguished between these two kinds of non-utilisms at the specification level, and on that level we were actually able to make sure that our notion of refinement now actually preserves security properties. And then secondly, modularization. There, unfortunately, also you cannot in general assume that modularization preserves security properties. There we made use of a rather established approach for reasoning about modular architectures called rely guarantee formalization of system properties, and we used that approach in order to formalize security properties, and on that basis we were able to establish results like the one you can see here, which give us concrete preconditions for situations in which, in fact, security properties are preserved by composition. Using these kind of results, we were then able to develop an approach for change-based recertification. And the approach very briefly works like it is sketched here. So at the initial certification of the system, our approach firstly registers which parts of the system are, in fact, relevant for satisfying the security property, and of course these are usually not all parts, and this information is stored as part of the model. After the evolution, we can then compute the difference between the old and the new version of the model, and for the recertification, our tool then only has to recheck those parts of the model which satisfy those three conditions that are stated there, which were firstly relevant in the initial verification, which secondly actually changed, such that thirdly, those conditions on the fact that the security properties may have been preserved by those changes which we identified and I mentioned earlier, that these conditions are not fulfilled. Because if we can make sure that they are fulfilled, then we can just say that the system is still secure and we don't have to completely reanalyze it from scratch. We implemented this approach as part of our tool infrastructure, and in our experiments we could actually establish that this in fact gave a significant speed up for the verification of the system. So much for the model level. Then of course the goal was to be able to apply this approach at the implementation level as well. To be able to do that, we firstly needed an approach which gives us a traceability of the security requirements from the model level to the code level, which is preserved by the evolution. And we developed that approach on the basis of the observation that you can actually reduce change to a sequence of adding and deleting system elements, as well as performing refactoring operations. So we developed such an approach on the basis of making use of refactoring scripts in Eclipse. And using this traceability, we can then transform our security analysis from the model level to the implementation level. For example, in the context of an approach for static code analysis, which we've developed together with Microsoft Research Cambridge, which allows us to now perform the security analysis also at the model level. And for time reasons, I cannot really say much about how this works, but I can only mention that we have applied this approach to a number of case studies where in fact we found several security flaws in existing implementations. In fact, also one at a smart metering system developed by Microsoft Research. This approach, however, assumes that you have the source code available for the different versions of the system. If that is not the case, we alternatively develop an approach for runtime security verification of the system. And this allows us now to generate security monitors from our models and to make sure that the system actually satisfies the security property runtime. This we also implemented as part of our tools, and in our experiments it turned out that the overhead from the monitoring was in fact acceptable. And yeah, we applied this work to a number of case studies, and turned out firstly that the approach was sufficiently performant, and we were also able to apply it to large evolutions, namely even re-implementations of systems. So yeah, to come to the end, just one comment on validation. We were able to show the correctness of our evolution-based security verification based on the formal semantics of the use fragment of UML, and the completeness we could establish because we can break down all kinds of evolution as steps of small step evolutions, and which can all be treated by our approach. And in our experiments, it turned out that this re-verification effect led to a significant speed up for the verification. Yeah, so much for the talk. In this talk, I briefly explained why, in particular, evolution is such a challenge for security certification of cloud computing infrastructures, and I presented an approach which allows us to address this challenge based on the idea to integrate the security certification with the evolution, and that way to reduce the burden that is created by having to recertify the system again after each evolution step. And we implemented that as part of our SU infrastructure, and it turned out that this in fact led to a significant performance gain. Thank you very much indeed for your attention, and I'm very happy to answer any questions. Oh, I ask you questions.
Well, I will ask a question.
Okay.
Of course it was great, but what worries me is that you obviously have some kind of classifications in mind. I mean, the starting one. This is what worries me. Not the end one, which is great. I mean, what kind of security are we talking about? I even use some terms here, okay? Secrecy, privacy, authentication, authorization, trust, reliability, safety, confidentiality. I mean, these are all different things. And I just wonder if security, we are not using it as a buzzword here. And in this context, what kind of software are we talking about as well? I mean, are we talking about software as a service? Are we talking about some cloud mobile apps? Are we talking about a situation in which an enterprise develops a system based on web services, where different people responsible for the security and so on and so on? So I suppose this classification,
yes. Yeah. These are two very good, but also somewhat broad questions. So I will probably need another 20 minutes to sufficiently answer those questions. But since we don't have the time, I will try to keep it brief. So the first question is, of course, very correctly: what do I actually mean by security? So I stayed at a rather high level of abstraction here throughout the whole talk because I only had 20 minutes. It's in fact true that whenever I say security at the technical level, of course, we have to break this down to the relevant security properties. And you mentioned some examples like that. So in fact, we have looked at the core security properties like secrecy, integrity, and authenticity. And this we were able to define at the level of the execution semantics of the modeling language that we have used, and also the implementation programming languages that we considered, for example, the language C. But you have to do this for every security property separately, and it does take some work. So you cannot you say correctly, you cannot just say this is now all secure, but we in more detail we would have to tell you exactly which security properties we have addressed and what our formalization is of that. But yeah, 20 minutes are not enough to actually do that, but that's a good comment. And the second was which kind of infrastructures can we address using this approach. Well, there I would say that the approach as such is in principle general, so it's not limited to a certain infrastructure. So in that sense, depending on which kind of part of the approach you use, in this picture up there, if you just use the modeling approach, then of course in principle you can apply it to any kind of infrastructure, as long as you're willing to invest the time and money that is necessary to actually model your infrastructure at a certain level of detail, which of course the more detail you want, the more effort you have to invest. For other kinds, parts of the approach, like the modeling approach, the monitoring approach, of course this assumes that the system where you want to carry out the monitoring is sufficiently resourceful. So you don't want to do this on a smart card based infrastructures, because you don't want to have monitors running on your smart cards, for example. But in principle, the approach is applicable to different kinds of architectures.
Thank you very much. Questions? Yes. At the end of our we want to
Yes, so I guess this is coming back to the motivating slide from the beginning. That's the goal. In fact, the goal is to be able to basically generate a certificate. We are not there yet, so that is sort of the vision. What I presented in this talk is some technical work towards that vision, but at the end of that work, which of course isn't completely finished in all respects, the dream would be to be able to automatically certify in particular software services that are sold across a cloud and to issue certificates for that. But of course this is a huge challenge to be able to do that automatically at real life software, and with respect to our approaches we will still have to invest some work on scaling them up and to making them even more performant. Yes.
How do you recover all attack vectors? I mean, you may use some vectors such as side channel, that's something that you haven't thought of.
Okay, if I understood the question correctly, how do we know whether we have covered all kinds of attacks? Yes, that's a good question, and the answer is unfortunately we don't know. Firstly, one should make sure, that's another good comment, I don't want to claim that we are able to prove a system 100% secure, because this is simply impossible for a variety of reasons, for practical reasons, but also already for principled reasons. So, and of course one should always say that, that's not our goal. Our goal is instead to find as many weaknesses as possible and to prevent as many attacks as possible. But we will never be able to prevent all attacks, because as you say correctly, there are some attacks which we don't even know today and which will be discovered tomorrow. And of course we are not omniscient, we cannot predict everything, and there are of course very interesting examples in history. If you consider power-based analysis on smart cards, a couple of years ago in 96, someone found out that it is possible to extract a cryptographic key from a smart card simply by monitoring the power usage of the smart card while it performs cryptographic operations. And of course, before they found it out, no one would have expected that this would be the case. And so this can happen again, and you are never secure against that.
Cloud-based services for their clients. What do you suggest for them to secure their senses?
I would, for the first step is for them to educate themselves about the tools that are already out there. So there are a lot of tools which allow you, for example, to check for buffer overflow weaknesses. And unfortunately, these are not really used such widely. And unfortunately, there are many examples for spectacular security weaknesses, like the Heartbleed weakness last year, where people simply did not use the tools that are available already. So, and yeah, this is the first place to start. Look around what tools there are and use them. And there's quite a lot of tools available today here.
Okay, please join me in thanking
Thank you.